Father, today, Lord, we ask in the name of Jesus that you would take a coal, a fire that is under the wings of the cherub, or the coal of the glory. Father, you take it and you put it upon our lives. You touch our lips. Father, you touch our eyes, you touch our ears, you touch our hands, and you touch our feet. Father, we might be known as the sent ones out of the glory. Father, we might be transformed into your image by the purity, the coal that burns under the altar of incense. Father, we ask today that you would reach in with the hand of your presence and you'd lift those coals. Father, you put them upon our heads. Father, your word says that as John prophesied, he that would come after me, his shoes I'm not worthy to unleash, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Lord, I ask that coal of fire would come upon our lives, that you would burn in us, burn through us, burn around us, burn into our soul, burn into our body, that we would be truly transfigured into the beings that you've called us to become. Father, we surrender today. Would you all lift your hands? Father, we reach into your presence as an act of faith. Father, we reach into your presence and we surrender. We surrender today to your fire. Let the fire of God burn. Let it burn through our hands as we engage, Father, the train of your mantle. As we lay hold of it today, Father, that your glory and the oil of the Holy Spirit that drips from the mantle, that it would fall upon our lives, that you would light that oil, Father, that we would truly become a sweet-smelling fragrance, Lord, in your sight, that you would sniff the fragrance of your children, that, Lord, you'd find us acceptable and pleasing. In Jesus' name, Lord, we worship you today, and we surrender. Father, our own mind and heart, we surrender to your lordship. We surrender to your lordship today. We yield to the relationship with your presence. We yield and give ourselves to that today. Father, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, it requires faith to believe that when you lift your hands, you're going to put your hands into the presence of God. And so often, we need to make choices to do this kind of thing, that it activates who you are in the Spirit and enables you to engage the realm of the kingdom so you can reach into the reality of who we are and what we are there. And it requires faith. I don't reach in to pull it down. I reach in so I can lay hold of what's there to pull myself up into it. Okay, did you get that? Because so often in church, you're taught to lay hold of something and pull it down. It's not about him coming down. It's about you going where he is. I get hold of something, a rung of the ladder of the glory of God, and I pull myself up into his presence. I don't want his presence coming down here. I want to go where he is. Amen? Praise the Lord. Grab yourself a seat. Hallelujah. Well, praise God. It's neat to see there's a few more new people here again. It's awesome to see you coming in. I really recommend that. You know, if you come in late or if you miss a session, that we're building to something. And if you miss some of the sessions or you miss a session this morning, then I really recommend you get the tape because we're laying a foundation of where we need to go, particularly for tomorrow and that kind of thing. I've got so much I want to teach, and I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 sessions to do, and I've got 2 sessions to do it, and I'm not going to be able to do it all. So I'm just tossing up what to do here as I'm talking to you. We need a reality of the kingdom. We can't, no longer the church cannot any longer afford to not have any reality of the realm of the kingdom of God inside of them and around them. We just can't afford it. The world is going down the tube so fast, and we have people like Harry Potter, you know, this woman, I don't know whatever her name is, and inspired by a demon to write these books. And they now have an online school where you can learn how to do the incantations, and parents have now a school where you can go and a preschool where you can go and take your children through the Harry Potter process. But this is where they're at, you see. And we have preschools and we don't teach our children how to go into the realm of the kingdom. We don't teach them about the spiritual principles that are associated with the kingdom. And we're letting the enemy and the world run our lives. And we're letting the world run the system. And it's time that we actually changed and got into what we should be doing, which is we should be kingdom supernaturally inspired, motivated, kingdom governmental people. And we're not. It's been a privilege for me to watch my children grow up and to be able to train them and to begin to teach them how to do some of these things. Dads, you're responsible. You're responsible for teaching your children. If you don't do it, the world will teach them another way and shut them down. It's been a great privilege for me to see my children grow. By the time they were all about the age of 5, they all accepted the Lord, just like we'd read them these Bible stories. And it was amazing. It was always the same story that all the children got born again by. And it was where Nicodemus said, came to Jesus and said, "How can a man get born again?" It was like, just what an amazing thing. And all of them are between the age of 5 and 6, kind of all got sort of born again and asked Jesus in their lives. And it became my privilege as a dad from about 6 or 7 years of age to have them stand in front of me in the church and actually begin to embrace them and say, "Okay, tell me what you're feeling. I want you to feel what I'm feeling," and talk to them about how to engage the supernatural world. So it's normal for them. You know, it's normal for us to have things happen in the supernatural world. It's just normal. We were sitting at the table and we were talking about angels. I mean, these are the kind of things you've got to talk about. Because if you don't, then they'll hear something about demons and it'll hook their mind. And so we're busy talking about these angels and Ezekiel's things with wheels within wheels and all these angels with eyes around about. And my eldest daughter was kind of going, "Oh, you know, just joking. And I wonder which eye you're poking at." And it's fair that out of the atmosphere. It was just like, "Ah, I poked this eye, Daddy, what do I do?" And it's just, I mean, this should be normal. Like, it shouldn't be, wow, you know, that it should be just normal. This should be a normal life. And the problem is we haven't cultivated this life of the kingdom, and so we are letting our children go to hell, basically. We're letting our families go down the road to hell because hell is so happy to teach them. And that's what all the movies are about. That's what all the stuff is about. I'm looking forward to the time when we have enough money as believers to make our own movies and to be able to, you know, I want to sit with Joanne sometime and she wants to write some children's books. And I'm going to talk about the angels that I see and how I interact with them and teach the kids how to interact with them and, you know, doing all this kind of stuff. Because we're supposed to. I mean, there's this leopard that I have an engagement with. It's a white snow leopard, but it's on the side of the mountain of God. And it's from here to the door, you know, sort of long and as high as that. And it's, I mean, but you can talk to them because that's the way God's made them. They're there, they're made in the beauty of His majesty. They sit in His presence on the mountain and they know all about you. And so, I mean, there's the horses, I mean, the fiery horses, they are amazing. The problem is no one's ever taught you about the fiery horses, so you don't know what they are. And then Ezekiel, I mean, so in Elijah, when Elijah was taken up, it says that the fiery horses and the chariots of Israel came down, and then the whirlwind came and took Elijah up in the whirlwind. He didn't go up in the fiery chariots, he went up in the whirlwind. And so you can develop a relationship with whirlwinds that take you up in the kingdom. But nobody ever teaches that, so you don't know. So we miss out on all these things that are angelic, and we're so busy learning about demons, we don't actually understand, well, wait a minute, there's things in the realm of the kingdom and creatures, 27 different creatures that I've encountered that are like the horses and the fiery chariots and the whirlwind is a creature. It's a sentient being that has one desire, that's to take you into the presence of the Father. That's all they're waiting for. It's for you to go, "Her, take me." And they're only too happy to respond, let me tell you. Same with the fiery chariots. They're like an eagle that has a head but fire behind it. I don't have semantics to describe the stuff I see. But the pictures that and the things that they do are amazing. Their whole desire is to take you and enable you to explore with them their desire for you to engage the eye of God. That's what an eagle does. Just looks right in the eye of God and goes. And so you have all these things that are very exciting. And we're busy living this mundane, boring Christian life. I can't wait to go to sleep at night. I can't. I'm serious. Because I've learned how to do the night watch. I've learned how to govern my body so that my spirit man is ready to step into the kingdom. And so I go, and I shut everything down. And then when it gets to the point, I'll step over and go, "You can go to sleep now." And I go into heaven. And I spend my night in heaven. These are the things. But again, it's a learned behavior. It's not something God went, and it all happened. It took me 6 months to learn how to do that. Because I'd stay awake just trying to govern the thing, and I learn how to stay awake while I'm walking, and then crossing over between sleep and walking, whatever. I mean, it's just stuff. These are the things that God has given us to do, and we're busy playing tiddlywinks. We're busy worrying about Auntie Jane down the road that said boo when you walked into church. I'm serious. You know, I'm busy worried about somebody having an opinion about me in church. Well, I'm sorry, I'm past the stage of caring about what other people think of me anymore. They all think I'm crazy. I'm a space cadet. That's great. I'm a spirit freak. Hallelujah. At least I'm a spirit freak. You know, if I'm no earthly good, hallelujah. I don't want to be earthly good. Hallelujah. I mean, this is the kind of thing that happens. And by the way, the reason our brother sits in the front is because he's deaf, and he likes to watch my lip read, so that's why he sits there. So if you find him loud, that's why. So it's all good. If you don't like it, come see me. I can lay hands on you and get you delivered. It's all good. but you know, there's just a couple of things that some Christians, 5 more minutes on this, some Christians asked before, and just to clarify what I said about this isn't God, a leather book with writing on it and paper isn't God. Okay? This is the way that enables us, through another man's experience, to engage God. This is a pathway set for us, which enables us to find another's relationship with God and use their relationship as a springboard for our own relationship. It's not until you actually go into the relationship that you'll actually get to know someone. If my wife, like if you read an autobiography of someone, right, you know about them. But it isn't until you go to them and you meet them face to face and you talk with them that you get to know their nature and their character and their little quirks, you know, and whether they leave food on the side of the tray or leave the socks lying on the floor or whether you, I mean, whatever your problem is, whatever the issues you face, I mean, there's deep things, you know, there's real things about stuff like that, squashing the tube on the wrong side of the, or the toothpaste. And simple, mundane things like that, they really actually stop you out of the kingdom. They're actually immaterial issues, fleshy issues, actually, really. They just get over and get on with your life. They don't know those things. You can't read them in here. And it's like that with God. This gives you a doorway, and this is what I want to come to talking today, by using the word as a doorway. This is another's experience of their relationship with God. This is not God. You only come into a relationship with them when you begin to relate one-on-one and person-to-person. For so long, many people's relationship with God has been a one-way street of relationship, where you go, and he goes, and falls asleep because there's no conversation. You've got to give time God to be able to speak with you and also to be able to go into his presence. It's about going into someone else's house. If I wrote a history of my house and told you what my house looked like, you would go, oh, great, wonderful. Yeah, that's really nice. That's your house. But actually, it isn't until you go into my house that you can feel the atmosphere. You can begin to feel the environment. You can then begin to feel how nice and warm it is. You can feel what's like inside the house. You can see the things that are on the house. You can see the painting on the walls and blah, 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 blah. I can tell you there's a painting on the wall, but it isn't until you go there that you'll actually see it and actually begin to experience what's there. And it's like this with the Word. This gives us the doorway. It's not God. It gives us the doorway to Him. And so for those folks who have been asking me questions about it, I hope I've clarified that for you. And because people have made this their God. And it is a plumb line that we measure things with. It is a tool that helps guide me. But the truth is, it's the Holy Spirit that guides me. Okay? When I can't feel the prompting of the Spirit of God, I've got to go back to the Logos. Because I'm not mature enough to feel the promptings. God's looking for mature sons. Not little kiddies still playing tiddlywinks. Okay, you've got to meditate around this thing, and so we need to get into that. I'm just going to talk about this picture because I started down the path and didn't finish it. The fiery horses of God are amazing. Their desire is to carry you into the waves of the glory that move out of the realm of heaven. And they like riding. I would describe them as surfer freaks. That's the best way I can describe them. They're surfing freaks. They love getting on the waves of the glory and riding the waves, and you can join them if you want to. And to describe them, if I was to describe them to you in the natural form, the best way I could describe them to you would be they have the forefront of a horse, but it's transparent and like crystal. Their hooves are like diamonds, and when they move, they strike the atmosphere, and lightning comes out of the end of their feet. Their mane is like matted strings of diamonds, very similar to the way God's beard is. And when they move, it's like they move with thunder because the rest of their body is all on fire. There's no rear part. It's just fire. And you sit on them and they you go ride the glory waves when they come out of heaven. And you can see when God speaks, you can get on them and you ride it all the way to the earth. And it's like, I mean, you want some fun? Well, you know, whatever. Go have some fun. That's what it's all about. It's not actually being and living a boring Christian life. This is supposed to be an exciting, vibrant, living relational connection with a kingdom that we're going to live in forever. And if you don't connect with it now, you're going to go there as a little baby and have to learn how to connect with it. And you'll never come into your fullness because you should have tasted here and seen here before you go there. See, that's why the word says taste and see that the Lord is good. It doesn't say taste and hear, taste and think. It says taste and see. So you've got to taste and see. The only way you can taste, the word taste actually means to partake of something and to actually receive it. So you've got to go and receive something and partake of it. If you don't partake, you'll never taste. So go and taste. And it's fun. It really is. It makes your Christian life exciting. It's not boring. When you get bored at home, you can go on these little journeys, and it's great. It's a lot of fun. So anyway, I'm not telling you this to make me sound spiritual. I don't consider, it's really funny, people think I'm a spiritual freak and geek and blah, blah, blah. I actually don't think that. I think I'm just normal. And all you guys got a problem. No. No. But I am, I'm a petrol head. I love racing cars. I love fast cars. I love motorbikes. I'm a businessman. I love being able to handle money. I love being able to speak to staff. I love the protocols of putting businesses in place and then 2 years later getting bored, so I give them away. I mean, it's all good. That's the kind of thing you're supposed to do. And so it's just kingdom stuff that God wants us to operate in. And so your life is not supposed to be boring. So if you're boring, actually it means actually not on the spirit at all. It means actually you're living in the flesh. And the flesh and the carnal nature of man is enmity to the kingdom. And it will war against the kingdom. And so it's about being in the spirit. And then it gets exciting. It really does. It's wonderful walking down the road. My wife and I, this was some years ago now, driving down the road, and I'll stop shortly with stories, but see, what I'm doing is I'm sharing my testimony and my relationship with God with you the same way as others in here have shared their testimony and their relationship with God. What I'm doing is just saying, hey, this is where I'm at. If I can go there, now I grew up dyslexic, ADD, and I had major problems. I got E for excellence in everything at school. You know, E is for excellence, D is for doing well, C is for can't do it, B is for doing badly, and A is unable to do it. You know, the school systems reversed it, you know, and didn't quite get it right. And so I got E for excellence and everything in school. And so, but out of that, you see, God has changed my life. Because I had to engage something different to be able to bring this reality. Now I was the quietest, meekest person in the room. I'd go and sit in the corner and rather be by myself and not communicate with anybody. But I'm different now. Why? Because I've engaged something that's different. And I still struggle. You know, I go to conferences all around the world. I still struggle going up to somebody I don't know, shaking their hand, saying, hi, how are you? What's your name? And that's my little tonto. And the more it squeaks, the more I'll go and do it until it shuts up. And then I know of one. I can stand and put his head when I'm preaching, put his head in my foot and just crush it and grind it and like a cock squashing a cockroach. It all feels good. You know, these are the kind of, but see, this is practice. This is how you practice your life. You take the things that trouble you. You take a natural thing that is around you. You squash it. Cockroaches make a nice crunching sound, and I hate them. And so you squash them, and then you take its head, and you put it on your foot. The Bible says we will bruise his head. You know, so we'll crush his head or whatever it is. And so he put his head there. The Bible does say, and I can't remember the scriptures, but it says that God will give me the neck of my enemy. And about three verses later, it says that I will crush his head to powder. Now, that's really good to me. I really love those kind of imagery because it means that when I do something like this, actually the reality is it's going to happen. And so when those things are there, I love getting the hold of heads in the courtroom, bending them down, putting them on my foot and going, because it feels good. I mean, they've done it to me enough. It's called payback. Hallelujah. My first entanglement I ever had, tangling with some familiar spirits in my life. I got a great big, rug carpet thing, you know, we had in the hallway and hung it over the line. I got a steel rod, bit of pipe, and I beat the snot out of this carpet. And every time I would hit, I hear this whack, and you see this dust come off the carpet. And so I thought, well, that's a good image to work with. So God's given me the rod of dominion or authority as a son, so I have the right to exercise that rod. So I thought, what better thing to do than to go against my familiar spirits, the things that speak to you in first person inside you, that tempt you into sin. So I lined them all up, got them hang up, got the rod, and beat the snot out of them. And it felt good for a change for me to be winning on the winning side. And so I did that 3 or 4 times, and they never bothered me again. And when they do, it's like, come on, guys, line up. I'm sorry, but I have authority here. You line up. You have to stand there until I'm finished, until I've had enough. When I've had enough, then you can go. I'm being serious. I'm not trying to be. This is what I do. When I'm bored, this is what I do. And so, heaven help the spirit of will when I'm bored. Like somebody knows they're going to get a beating. And I'm serious. There'll be times I'll go after a dragon because I'm bored. I want to go and see what's going on, so I'll go after it because that's what I do. And so I'll go after it and break its neck and stick it and do all the things I've got to do to it. And then, you know, it feels better the next day because I've had some victory. And you just, now, don't be immature in what you do, but you relate out of the relationship with God and out of his kingdom you come. Don't come from this world. Unless you're in the kingdom, don't go there. Don't go into the center of the earth unless you go there. Don't go into the layers that are under the earth unless you go in the kingdom realm, because you'll get smacked around. You've got to know who you are, and you've got to come from the arena of the kingdom of the glory, because you carry the light down into this arena. You don't bring it down. You don't pull it down. You go there and you bring it down with you. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, that's enough of that stuff. Let's go in teaching the word here. One of the basic things that I found worth my life is that I needed anchors. This session is called, for you who's recording the tape, is using the word as a gateway. I wanted to get a grips with the reality of the supernatural world and understanding how the human mind works, understanding some of the protocol and understanding how the imagination works. I realized that I needed to do something so that I can engage the supernatural world, and so that would become real to me, and so that my engagement through faith and what I see in the word would become a real doorway to me. Now, since I've started that journey, I've gone through over 2,600 doorways from the Word into the supernatural world. The Word is a doorway into the supernatural kingdom. And it opens the door for us. It's another door that they've described to us. In my Bible cache, why don't you pass me a photo, please? Just passing the photo. That's cool. Now, I have a photo here that we took when we were in a conference overseas. For some of you who can see it, that's great. I just want you don't have to look at all the detail, but it's just full of orbs and raining with orbs inside there, and it was great. It was a wonderful conference. Now, you can't tell me where the city is, can you? No. You can't tell me what the church is like. You can't tell me what the people are like. You can't tell me what the atmosphere was like. You can't even tell me the street that the church is on. The reality is that behind the picture is all that information. So the word paints a single dimensional picture of the possibility of the reality of what sits behind it. It's only as you develop the picture and go into it that you'll see the fullness of what's behind it. This can give me the entranceway into Seattle. This can give me the entranceway into the whole continental plate of the Americas. Why? Because it's sitting in behind the photo. The truth is, it's behind the photo. My reality is that I only see it in single plane. You know, like there's people sitting on that wall I painted, you know, with those stick figures. That's my reality. And so what happens is when we read the Bible, we read it like this, not realizing that it's an invitation for us to enter it, to explore it, to uncover it, to become familiar with it, so that I can go there. Okay? And so what happens is we read the Bible, what a wonderful story. And next year you read the Bible, what a wonderful story. Next year you read the Bible, wonderful story. The next year you forget about reading it because you've read it so many times. Instead of actually exploring the reality of the potential possibility that is in it. Every word that God speaks, every Logos word has the potential to be a stroke of a paintbrush to a supernatural reality of a doorway that He speaks and paints for you and I to walk into. The Father's invitation to the covenant that He's made with us is in written form. You can only experience a covenant once you go into it. And so it becomes very important. Reading and meditating on the Word of God, develop and have the capacity to renew our mind. Not just reading it, meditating on it. Meditating, you can take that word away from the demonic world, because we should do as Christians, because David says, I meditate on the Word of God day and night. In some Christian circles, you go meditate and they go,
Because the demonic attachment to the belief system that they have about meditating, each is connected to a demonic world, so they live out the demonic world with that word. And so when you turn into that word, you engage the demonic world, that becomes a source of your supply. And so our biggest issue now is to actually take it back from them, because the Bible talks about meditating. It doesn't mean meditating with your mind being blank. It actually means cultivating an atmosphere and to understand the depth and breadth of the manifestation of what you are looking at. Now, I don't know about you, but I want the manifestation of what I'm looking at. I want the kingdom to manifest. And when I look at it, I want it to manifest so I can go into it. And so meditating is a vital part. It's like taking a lolly. Right off my notes again, but I don't care. It's like taking a lolly. You know, I don't have one here, it's in my coat, but if you were to take a lolly that's wrapped up give me one. Oh, God, there's a lolly there. That would be great. Praise God. Thank you. You don't mind if I have borrowed that? That's good, but you won't get it back. I'll borrow it on a permanent basis. It can go into a good cause. Anybody ever done this with a lolly? That's really nice. I don't think so. Yet many of us do that with a word. We read it as a dry, wrapped up little parcel. Meditating means taking it, unwinding it. Now I can't find the opening to it because it's all sticky. Taking it out, contemplating it, sniffing it, tasting it. Well, that's strong. Sniffing it again, making your eyes water, and then putting it in your mouth. That's really nice. Hallelujah. Now, that to me is a lot better than eating that. But what many believers have tried to live off is that. We've tried to live off this. Meditating means also to be like a sheep. It also means to mutter like a sheep. You know, in New Zealand, we should know what sheep do when they mutter. You know, sheep will go, and there's about 45 million sheep and 4.5 million people. Well, we should understand what the sheep shed's all about. That's to teach you how to mutter. That's what a church is. It's supposed to teach you how to mutter, how to meditate, whatever. It's the pastor's right to fleece it. Well, no, I won't even go there. Hallelujah. I'm being naughty now. Hallelujah, Father. And so, what a sheep would do is it would gorge itself, okay, on a nice green paddock, like us reading this in a nice green paddock, and then a sheep doesn't just regurgitate it and spit it out and then excrete it. A sheep sits there, goes into a paddock, finds a nice sunny place, goes into that nice sunny place, sits down and does this. That's what meditation means. It means to chew on, regurgitate, to get transfixed by, to have your eyes as one staring in a trance. So when I see you all like this, I know you're meditating. Hallelujah. But what I'm trying to do in a funny way is actually show you how much the church is missing out, because all they're doing is feeding on the wrapper instead of understanding that there's a depth and breadth in it that God wants to uncover for us if we would give it time to be worked into us and then to go into it. A sheep crushes that grass till it's just mush and gets all the goodness out of it. That's what we're supposed to. We're supposed to take the word and crush it till it's mush, and all the goodness and the depth and breadth and height of what he's described in there becomes our reality. And then we sit inside there going, wow. So you all start going, wow. I know you're getting there. Hallelujah. Unfortunately, many, many people today are just bad people. And so we're all trying to teach people how to be good people and actually are failing because we're actually bad shepherds. We haven't. As the church, and I want to stand here today as a leader and apologize to you for never teaching you how to see. I want to apologize for not telling you that the realm of heaven, the kingdom is real and you can go there. I want to ask your forgiveness for never allowing you to explore the potential reality of what the Bible says is true. That we've stood in the gate and said, you can't go there. And it's horrendous what the church has done to the believers. It's horrendous. God wants us to experience Him and come into the depth of who He is. You know, it's amazing when Jesus teaches, the Hebrews, as I said, they see and they feel. And Greek, think and hear. And so what happens is you have Jesus, when He teaches, He always teaches in pictures. Have you ever seen that? Oh, this is like a seed that goes into the ground. Some falls in good soil, some in bad soil, some in thorny soil, some in rocky soil. And inside their mind, they're seeing cloud field, rocky field, dirty, horrible, dry soil. They see it in their mind. That's why they paint pictures. So you can go into the doorway of the knowledge of what's being taught. The doorway of knowledge. The Word is the doorway to the knowledge of God. And so Jesus always taught in these pictures. Why? So He could captivate the imagination. And so that they would use the imagination to actually cultivate an entry point. And so for me, when I realized that Jesus spoke in pictures, I decided I'd go and meditate around some of these kind of things that Jesus did. You know, I wonder what it would have been like to stand on the outside of the tomb when Jesus pointed His hand to that tomb wall and says, Lazarus, come forth. The first racing car race ever held in the Bible when Lazarus came forth. Anyway, I don't know, whatever. Write that from the CD. But have you ever wondered what it would have been like to stand there and actually watch that happen? Like to physically stand there and know that someone had been dead for 3 days or 4 days or however long it took Jesus to get there. And for Him to walk up and say, hey, you guys, why are you crying? He's only asleep. Yeah, right. Would have I been one of those who would have scoffed? Would have I been one of those who would have been going, yeah, right, let's see what He's going to do now. Just like all the religious system of the church today. When you start operating in the Spirit, they'll go, yeah, right, let's see what He's going to do now. The same demon operated then as it does now. It's everything. Everything's the same. It's just in a different form. And so I would spend hours just going, man, I wonder what it was like to hear Him speak. Just to, even that girl that He raised from the dead, you know, that had been dead there, lying and everything, and she takes His hand and says, Eli, Eli, come, arise. Talit kumi, the talit has come. The talit is the manifestation of the presence of God to a high priest in Jesus' day. Talit kumi, the talit has come. The name of the provision of the names of God that are carried in the covenants of God has turned up here today. Because of that covenant, you're going to rise from the dead. I mean, have you ever wondered what it would have been like to have that thing dangling over your head? That's what Jesus does all the time. He dangles His talit and says, the resurrection power has come. The resurrection power has come. And we just don't get it. Anyway, right up my teaching, praise You, Jesus. The Word of God needs to be like the life of God flowing through us. It needs to become a river of revelation. Now, it is amazing. Anybody remember the old folks pumps? You know those clanky things? You know, you used to get this well and you used to put this pipe, this thing on this well, and you used to clank these, you know. When, good on you. When, yeah, it works. Probably the best water as well. But you find that when the water first came out, it was filthy, horrible, mosquito-ridden, green garbage. Everybody would agree with that. But once you got the flow going, you give it 5 minutes, and then the water that comes out of the same spout that the rubbish came out of becomes so nice to drink, so wonderful, wonderfully cold and pure, but it's coming from the same fountain. All that was done was an opportunity to crank the handle. The more you crank the handle by using the Word as an entry point into His kingdom, the greater the opportunity is for the purer flow to come through your life. You've got to prime the pump. You can't stand there going, God, you do it all. You'll go, yep, I've done it all already. But that's the way church has been. You see, instead of actually actively pursuing and doing the things that are important, we've waited for God to do it all for us, because this is called the sovereignty teaching. God will sovereignly come down and he'll do it all for you. And he's already done it and said, you go and do it and I'll be with you. Kind of different, really, isn't it? The doorway is very, very important for us to engage. There are several issues that I found helpful to facilitate the word becoming a gateway to the kingdom realm that would either produce visitation or revelation. I want to talk about those two things. Revelation is where there is a spiritual interruption of the natural arena and you see into it. Okay? Visitation is where there's a spiritual interruption of the natural arena and you step into it and participate. The church has lived off revelation for too long. It's now time to click into the next level of visitation. God doesn't want us to just watch and see. He wants us to participate. The whole of the kingdom, that's why the Bible says that the whole of creation groans for the manifestation of the sons of God. Why? Because they want us to begin to participate with what God's already doing so we can get up with the plan, man. Now, when the Bible talks about creation, it's not just talking about the earth, ladies and gentlemen. It's talking about everything that's contained within that bubble. All the stars, all the galaxies, all the whatever, the black matter, all that stuff. Black matter isn't black. It's only blackness is described as the absence of light. Actually, it's a river of glory that has no light in it. It still flows, and we can go there and bring the glory into it. It's amazing being in the middle of it. It takes persistence, and generally it takes time to unlock the kingdom realm because you haven't done it before. When I first started engaging the Word in meditating and in prayerful, faith-filled prayers, desiring an entry point, it would sometimes take 21 days for it to even break open or for me to step. Now, I can see some people going to sleep, and I know you're not meditating. It's all good. I wish I had Sir with me. I'll need to buy Sir. Once the gate is opened, once the gateway has been opened, it's like someone inviting you to their home into a relationship. Once you've gone there once, it's easier to go again. And so the issue is going there. And so the Word of God paints a doorway for us to go there. In Revelations 4, 1 and 2, it says there are some really good keys in that scripture, Revelations 4, 1 and 2. It says that he looked upon, you know, to look, when it says he lifted eyes and looked. Just to start this off, you've got to understand that John was already in the Spirit. So I haven't dealt with being in the Spirit yet. The church just doesn't want to go there. Because I think it's, demonic. Well, actually, that's what we created to be, is in the Spirit. It says, I, John, was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Well, the Lord's day is every day for me, so hallelujah. So I can be in the Spirit every day. And so, what you find is being in the Spirit is a key, but there's some key things that once you're in the Spirit that help to facilitate some of the stuff. And so, the word look upon something says that he looked and he saw a door in heaven. I just want to look at these three words, because the word look means to perceive, to see, or the implication inside it is to gaze with wide open eyes as someone with a more earnest inspection, a continued inspection of something. It's called a trance. And so the best way to engage something is not to look with the outside eyes coming in, but actually look at the pictures on the inside to create in your imagination the painting of the Word of God, the steps of what was painted there, so you can gauge the reality of the potential doorway that the Word opens up for you to go through. You've got to inspect it. You've got to look at it. You've got to engage it. You've got a desire to go there and have it and experience it. And so some of these things are very, very important for us. The next one is the door. And so the door means it's exactly that. It's a portal of entry. And it's not until you're in there and looking that you will see the portal. And we're saying, God, come down. I want to go. Well, go. Because unless you go, you won't see the door. And that's the biggest problem, is we've not been told, you can go. I was in Namibia, and I'm with these guys who are on the Apostolic Council of Africa, and we're talking over half an hour, and I mean, whatever, we wrecked their doctrine. It's really great. You know, these guys have theological seminary teachings and stuff. And you pull things apart from the Word, and they go, I know that's there because I've been there, and I know what you're saying is real, but that's not what I've been taught. And I haven't wanted to talk about it because this is what I've been taught, and if I don't teach that, then everybody says that I'm a heretic. And I said, well, you just got to come to the stage where you actually don't care what people think. You're going to be more concerned with what God thinks about His kingdom. The reality of what you need to walk in, because people need to know the stuff in their nation. I mean, your witch doctors heal the same way as Christian people do. Having a signs and wonders crusade over there means nothing. Because witch doctors can do the same thing. Sorcerers can do the same thing. They're going to live with water spirits for 3 weeks in the water. Presidents. They make covenants with these water devils who go and live in the water for 3 weeks. They have 25 human sacrifices to give them the power to go in there. This happens today. Benin. One of my friends is in Benin, Adeyemi Asafarin. 6'6" Negro guy. One of the most tenacious believers I've ever seen in my life. He planted 3 churches in the worst country in Africa for occult activity. In the center of their activities, planted 3 churches. He's been hit by vampires. Plug holes in his arms. You know, you can see them all. These guys don't mess around. You're either a believer and you really believe, or you don't and you're dead. You can't play tiddlywinks when you're over there. They lose 4,500 people every year through human sacrifices over 3 months when all the cult people come to Benin. The river runs red with blood. These things happen today. They happen today. They had to exhume outside behind the South African president's mansion over 4 tons of bones from human sacrifices. Isn't that great? And here we are playing tiddlywinks in the church. The heaven belongs to the highest bidder. Jesus made one sacrifice that gave our entry, and we don't use it. And we allow them to have our entry. And we allow them to go up and down and to and fro, because we're not going up and down and to and fro. Excuse me, I'll start getting angry about this point. We must persistently gaze. Sorry, the other word there is heaven. So a door in heaven. Heaven is actually the abode of God. So when we actually get into the place of engaging the Word, we can go right through the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, into heaven. The Word gives us an entry point to go right through the government to the place of His abode. And that's what I want. I don't just want to exist under the government. I want to go to the place of His abode. Now, I'm aware that some of you are going to sleep, so really good just to stand up on your feet, please. This is just demonic stuff, because he doesn't want you to hear. I want you to stretch. Hallelujah. You can grab yourself a seat again. Very hot. Lolly's very hot. It's great. It's making my nose run. Write that from the CD. What are some of the barriers that we experience in our lives to going into the realm of the kingdom? Often it's the destructive controls that we have allowed to exert through our lives through Adam's sin that resist and hinder the kingdom realms becoming ours. Often it's the soul that does not want to have anything to do with the kingdom of God and the realms of God, because it doesn't want to surrender to the controls of your spirit. Your spirit needs to dictate to your soul what it wants to happen. Not your soul dictate to your spirit the level of its activity. We about once a year we get together with a group and we do a 24-hour prayer. Where I get my guys praying for 24 hours. They don't go to sleep. They don't eat. You drink and you pray. And I don't mean sitting there in quiet meditation. I mean actively praying. 24 hours. At the end of it, it feels good. Why? Because you've actually broken the limitation of your belief that you have to have sleep. I've learned not to sleep. I go overseas when I travel the States. I'll be awake for 36 to 40 hours. And then you go to sleep. You sleep for 3 or 4 hours. And then you've got conferences for the next 2 weeks. You sleep 3 hours a night. You fly home. The same thing happens. And my family will tell you this is the way it is. It's just life. But if you don't dictate to your body and soul, your body will begin to rule you and your soul will hinder your spirit from doing what it's supposed to do and functioning in the right arena. We are sons of God, supposed to be able to function in the realm of the kingdom, tearing down every principality, everything that seems to hinder us, walking right through it as balls of glory. If Jesus arrived as a ball of glory to speak to Paul, I'm sure we're going to arrive as a ball of glory in a kingdom that's in darkness. You know, levitating ball of glory of the ground. Hey, Paul, why do you persecute me? Ah, who are you? I'm God. Oh, sorry, I was dumb, didn't see, didn't know. Sorry, I tried to relate to you in some other religious systematic process that actually had no life in it. We love the way that Paul's doctrine is taught in the church, but doing it like the delivery, levitating ball of light. Sorry, I'm using another word again, aren't I? It's a good word. It's called being lifted up. We're in a church in Batam. And this church has 5,500 people in it. And they were worshiping one day and they all got lifted up off the ground. A whole lot of them. 5,500 people. Whoosh, off the ground. Those that were left on the ground were people involved in the occult and witchcraft who had to crawl out of the meeting because of the glory. Now, I think that to me sounds really good. The next week, those guys were so upset, they brought a bomb into the church. And they let the bomb off. Well, that was really unfortunate for them because they were the only ones that died. The people have holes on both sides of their clothes, smoking holes. But nothing wrong with their skin underneath. Now, that's my God. So what are some of the barriers? In fact, actually, I won't even go there because we're going to run out of time. One of the things that I have learned to use is the creation that God put around us. This creation is in a fallen state. Nevertheless, it groans that we would come into a fullness of a state so that it can come into its estate. Okay? And because what is around us is groaning, it is a copy of something that is better. Often, I've learned to use the natural environment as a trigger from the Word to give me a place to anchor revelation on. So I'm going to give you some, I'll just go through some of these things quickly before we finish. What I mean is this. Anybody ever read about Ezekiel's River? You know? How many have ever walked in it? Praise God, one or two must have heard me or you've done it yourself. I said, one or two, you must have heard me talk or you've done it yourself. And so, for me, I can't sit there, Lord, I walk into this river, Ezekiel's River, and your word says, da, da, da. Actually, I've got no anchor, no revelation, no place for the revelation to sit upon. It goes into my head, goes shred. Okay, it goes in my hippocampus, shred, 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 shred. Lord, I'm walking the river. Really? Well, I don't feel it, I don't see it, so shred. No anchor. So I went into Lake Taupo, and oftentimes my family would go away, or my wife would go away, and it gives me a bit of time to do stuff. And so I went up into Lake Taupo, took a snorkel, put a weight belt around me. When I had a weight belt, I didn't need it those days, whatever. And so I put it around me, and I stood on my ankles in Lake Taupo, praying in tongues, drawing the natural environment to give an anchor for the supernatural environment to accumulate information, so it's got an anchor, so I can live in the revelation of it. Okay, so up to my ankles, then up to my knees, then up to my hips. I don't know what the people thought on the eights outside the lake. Somebody's standing there for 20 minutes going, talking through a snorkel with a weight belt on. Well, actually, I didn't really care because I was having such an amazing time with the presence of God. up to the lake on my shoulders, up over my head, and a snorkel sticking out of the ground. But see, what I've done is I've brought a reality to what the Word says is potentially possible. If He did it, then what I do is I engage my full senses in doing it. So I now brought the full revelation of all that experience into my prayer time. So now I'm standing at home, up to my ankles, up to my knees, up to my hips, then up over my shoulders, I'm being really naughty, up over my shoulders, and then up over my head. Well, an hour and a half later, I found myself on the floor. And what had happened is through the anchor that I gave my soul and spirit something to graft the revelation on, I walked into that river. It's like, so again, this is what I'm talking about. I've gone through 2,600 doorways like this so far. And so, another classic one. I'm at home, my family goes away, and I'm left at home. I've got time now to engage God and not worry about going to sleep, getting the food, whatever. No interaction with anybody else. Shut the doors, turn the cell phones off. And so, the Lord said to me, you know, I haven't had a shower yet. You know, God's got a real sense of humor, you know. He does things really. And you know, when He sits in heaven and laughs, it's all good. He said, we're going to turn the shower on. So I go inside there and turn the shower on. He said, shut the door. So I shut the door. And I'm sitting there. Okay, Lord, you spoke to me. You told me to do this. Now I've got the shower on. Shower's running. But you see, I've been meditating about the cloud of glory. I mean, Lord, I want some anger. So we happen to be able to go in these airplanes, you know, you fly all over the place now. And so at that stage, I'd only started flying, and I would look forward to coming down on the clouds. And you see this wall of cloud. I had my sticky beak eyes stuck out the window, you know, trying to see as far as I could around the corner to watch this cloud come and go whoosh, but I couldn't feel it. All I could see was see it. See? And if Moses went up into the cloud, I want to go up into the cloud. Okay, up into the cloud. I want to go up. You know, live it, whatever. And so I'm sitting standing in this bathroom now, and the shower's going, and boy, it's starting to get really misty in here. Now I'm starting to think, Father, this is no good. I've got to have a shower later. I'm going to have a cold shower because you're making me waste water. I mean, these are the stupid, but this is the way you communicate. You see our friendship, relationship, Father, what are you doing here? And so I got to the point where the hot water ran out. Going, well, now this is really useless. You haven't said anything else. What am I expected to do? So I turned the tap off. And then he said this to me. Now you've got to understand now, once the hot shower has been running in a small bathroom and it's cold outside, there's mist everywhere. Like you can see this far in front of your face. Anybody ever done that before? Don't do it. You waste a lot of hot water. But if you want to get an experience of God, go and do it. So I'm sitting there thinking, oh my goodness, I'm in a cloud. And so I was sitting there doing this, trying to feel the sensation of what it would be like to walk, because the water's, the mist is warm, and you can feel it on your skin, trying to get my whole body, soul, and spirit in line with the desire. All right? And so I'm sitting there doing this, and he says to me this simple thing, turn the light on. So I went, click. Well, about half an hour, I got off the floor. I somehow missed the bath. But you know, he's big enough to look after that anyway. But the whole room went absolutely white. And every little droplet reflected the intensity of the bulb that had turned on. So no longer was it a misty room. It was a white cloud. Now I've got the anchor for what it would be like not only to have it in my imagination, but to feel it, to have the sensation around my body, to have the engagement of it, and then to turn the light on. Boosh. And you can go there just as quick as that once you've done the pathway. And so my prayer time existed of nobody around. Hallelujah. I'd feel the anointing of God, feel the glory, and then I'd step into it and I'd turn the light on. And the way I turned the light on is I opened my spirit to the presence of God, because the light of the glory isn't here. Hallelujah. Once you practice this process, it becomes a lot easier to facilitate entering into the realms of God, because you're not
Yeah, whatever. It's got a hook out of that stuff and come here. I don't want it because that's really good. It's really cool.
Sometimes I start teaching and I'm trying to read this here. And I'm so caught with this. I'm seeing something so different. And all this is overriding my natural things here. And I'm looking at the page going, read the page, read the page. Hallelujah.
What was I saying about? Hallelujah.
Practice the process. You've got to practice the process. You've got to enable yourself to engage that.
Oh, man.
This is really good.
Hallelujah.
I got my head so blasted then by the Holy Ghost. I went a little bit too far and I shouldn't have done. It's really naughty, but I get really hungry. I just want Him. See, it's not about me. This is about Him. Your desire is measured by how deep you will go at any given time. The Bible says to be ready and instantly give an account of the faith that is inside of you. Well, man, my account is God. I want you. I'll just go. Whatever it takes, I'll just go. And I want to be with you. I want to be around you. I want to hang around you. I want to be in you. I want to see what you're doing. I want to be around the angelic world. This world is boring. And so I want to be there. But it's great because I've got a family here and for a period of time. And then, you know, whatever. I'm looking forward to living for 1,000 years. Praise God. Sometimes it's not all nice and fluffy when you go into the realm of the kingdom. Sometimes there's other things that manifest that will make you wet your pants and things like that. No, that's normal because your body gets so overridden with the shock and terror of what you see. One of my first engagements with angelic realm, I was busy praying. You know, you pray faith prayers. You know, Father, thank you that your word is like a hammer that smashes in pieces. Lord, it reaches into eternity and it releases the power of God into eternity. So all my pathways led out. I was going for it. And I kind of took a step. But when I stepped, I went, whoop, and I was in the spirit world and I was standing next to this angel. And it's looking down at me like this. You know, I'm kind of down there. And it said to me, hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church today. And I'd been decreeing, Father, it is finished. I speak to all the stuff down my line, in my family line, in whatever it is. I speak into my future. It is finished. I said, hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church today. Pulled the sword out. And you know what it had written on the sword? Father, it is finished. And so I took the sword, smiled at me, and went like this. Because what I wanted to know is what effect my words have on my future. That's what I wanted to know. Father, so when I'm praying this stuff, what is the effect that I know? What is the effect that I have in the future? And so what kind of things happen to me in the future? And what effect does it have on my life? I'll come preach over here for a bit. And so what happens in my life? Angels are funny. When you start talking about it, they'll start showing up. And there's a few that I always come that are really funny, and sometimes they're really distracting, and it's good, but you've got to teach. And so I'll just stand here. And so what happened to me was this thing took this thing out of the side, and it went like this, and it struck with the word of God. It struck with the word of God into eternity like this. And the sword went, the small thing, and it started to stretch. And it just went, at the fullest of its swing, it reached out as far as I wanted it to reach, down there, out over the edge of the earth, came back, put it in the side, and says, that's how far your words go. When I was gone, and I had to change my trousers, but it was all good. So God wants us to realize that He stands. And when you stand in the reality of what you speak, that reality will become your portion. And when that becomes your portion, your Christian life begins to take on some excitement. You know, we were driving down the road, my wife and I, we were going on this kind of holiday thing, and you know, I'm really naughty when I kind of get at liberty a bit, and we're driving down the road, and we're going to stop outside this Kentucky Fried Chicken place, and I just stretch my borders on my tent, let my spirit man just go out there, but the poor guy in the car, just across from us, they stopped, goes in this car, and I was really, you know, whatever. So I kind of pull it all in, and Casey, stop doing that, honey. So I kind of pull it all in. You know, I hate demons and the way they affect people's lives, and you push them out if you get half a chance. And so she was kind of getting ready to leave the car, and I looked across, looked at her, Pull it back in and get out of the car. Sorry, honey, just. But you see, and the couple guy drove off. I didn't know, whatever. My issue is this. If you know who you are, you will change everything that is around you. You will change it. You will change everything that is around you. I love being with these super spiritual freaks over in Asia. You know, they're so spiritual that they don't, sometimes they're just freaks, you know, whatever. And I love stones, you know, I love gems and all this stuff, you know, I love them and you get them all the time, and so it's really good. And so there's all these stones, and over in Asia it's all about the crystals. I don't care about that stuff. You walk in, its tone changes because you change the vibration of what's there. And so, there's this demon sitting there, and there's all this stuff lined about all these dragons. Oh, staff them, just walk in. And they're all left at the door going, oh, you can't do that. Well, really, why not? God's given me dominion on the earth. Well, I subdue it. I'll walk in, they walk out. It's easy. So I had a good look at the stones, good look at all the formation of the stones, picked some up and went, put it down again. I hope the guy who touches it gets blasted by the glory. You want to change the atmosphere, become an atmosphere changer. But you won't change the atmosphere unless you had to learn how to go into an atmosphere, then function out of that atmosphere in this one. Amen? Praise the Lord. Let's let me just see if there's anything else I need to talk about on here before I go. These kinds of experience aren't for the select few. They're not for the super spiritual bozos. They're not for all the freaky guys who are kind of out there doing their thing. The reason they're freaky guys is because they haven't demystified it, presented to you in a pathway that you can follow. And so what I wanted to do is to demystify all this stuff so it goes past being the whoa, to actually, I can do this. Now, every one of us will see differently. My wife sees differently than what I do. But the issue is, you can see. In whatever measure, I'm connected with some people over in Africa and we're doing these amazing things together and whatever. And so, but she actually sees, but she doesn't function out of seeing. She's an administrator of the kingdom's purpose. And that's Natasha. And she'll facilitate it. But you know the most amazing thing? God surrounded her with TV screens. TV screen is someone who goes, they can see everything that's going on. And so God surrounded her with TV screens. So when she wants to know something, she'll say, what's happening? She'll say, oh yeah, right now we can deal with that. And she'll feel it and see it, go into it. But she actually doesn't need to know all that stuff. This is where the body comes in. Because we all have such a diversity, but you put us all together and we make a glorious wine. And that's what God wants in the world, is a glorious wine, not glorious swine. Amen? Praise God. So let's pray. Father, I want to thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, that your word is a doorway of entry for us into the realm of the supernatural kingdom of heaven. Father, I thank you that you have painted doorways, that your word is an established plumb line of those doorways. Father, I ask that the revelation of how to do and engage these things would become their portion. Father, I bless the minds and hearts and spirits of these people with that knowledge today in the name of Jesus, that it would increase around them, that what has taken me 10 years would take them one. Father, I bless them with that knowledge in the name of Jesus Christ. Yeshua. Amen. Hallelujah.